Hi, everyone. It's Michael Zapersky here from FreshGigs.ca, and today I'm very happy to have with us Adina Zayant. Adina is the founder and director of Toronto-based Napkin Marketing. Napkin Marketing is an advertising and web design firm that works with small and medium-sized businesses to reach new customers online. Prior to starting Napkin Marketing, Adina was the trade marketing manager at Yahoo Canada. She worked on marketing programs for Rogers Media as well as others, and as a board member of or at the CMA. Adina, thanks for making the time to do this interview.
Thanks, Michael.
So first of all, I want to get a sense of of how you work, how you live, and also how you have fun. That's really what this interview is all about. And I guess the first question I have for you is, what is the main focus of your work? I mean, what are you doing on a daily basis?
I would say my work is split right now because I'm growing and launching my advertising agency right now. I'd say my work is split about 60% client projects, probably 20% sales, 20% marketing, and 10% I would say like education and admin. So it's always, I think, a challenge when you're launching your business, because you have, you know, the well-known dilemma of the shoemaker's children, especially for an agency, ironically. You know,
right.
I'm tasked with helping companies promote themselves, but I also have to balance that with time to promote my own business and develop my own business. So, but it's actually fantastic. I'm working on some really exciting client projects right now, and I'm really excited about what I'm doing.
Very good. Now, you mentioned, you know, the percentages of 20 this and 10 that.
Yeah.
Is that something that you really thought of beforehand? Because, you know, a lot of people that are kind of running their own businesses or trying to kind of, you know, they're self-employed, they have challenges with managing their time around things like that. Is that something that you thought of before and that you really stick to, or is it just kind of an overall idea that you try to stick with?
I'd say it's right now it's just how it's turning out right now.
Okay.
You know, obviously the client work comes first right now, and putting together client brochures, putting together a client website, you know, these projects and my clients' deadlines end up coming number one for me. But at the same time, you know, like every business person, you're either working for the business, as in working on your client projects, or you're working on the business. So you always have that challenge of, you know, you've got to work on the business in order to grow it. So,
definitely.
You know, I'd love to say I plan it that way, but right now, you know, I'm still struggling to get control of that schedule.
Right. No, people often have trouble with that, so that makes a lot of sense. Are you a morning person? I want to kind of have a feeling for how you're actually working. So, do you get up really early in the morning? What does your kind of typical day look like?
Well, now I'm kind of a 24-hour person, because being a mother of a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old who don't really sleep more than 2 hours at a time, it seems.
Right.
I if you would ask me that question before I had kids, I would say I'm definitely an evening person. I definitely like can stay up all night working on a project versus having to get up at, you know, 6 a.m. and work
mm-hmm.
on it. So, but nowadays I don't really have the choice. So it's, you know, with trying to balance work and family and trying to be a mom, you know, I have my work time, which is when my kids are at daycare, and then any other time I can grab in between in the evenings when they're asleep to try to catch up when I can. So, so as a parent, you don't always have control over your schedule that way, but my day pretty much starts with I usually have a baby crawling on my head.
Okay.
In the morning. That's how I usually wake up. I have like either my son or daughter. They like to sneak into our bed at night, so they wake up like somehow entangled with our limbs. And then, you know, getting them going in the morning, putting them through their paces, you know, getting them their teeth brushed and getting them clothed and getting them peed and getting them over to daycare and then trying to get yourself ready. And then your work day can begin. So, and in between that, you know, I'm checking my iPhone, I'm checking my email, I'm sometimes doing project work in the morning. So it's a fluid day.
Right.
You know, you don't get to block out and schedule as much as you used to, but.
So Adina, let me ask you, when, you know, obviously with kids going, kind of everywhere, it can make it difficult, but do you have any kind of ritual that you stick to, you know, with regards to getting the day going and doing your business and work? Is there anything that, you know, are you doing yoga? Are you checking emails, you know, as soon as possible? How does that work?
Absolutely. I mean, I hate to say it. I'm a bit of a BlackBerry or I guess an iPhone mom. So as much as I'm with my kids, I also, you know, I'm checking on my emails. I'm always in touch no matter what I'm doing. You know, sometimes at like 2 a.m., I find myself sitting with my son trying to get him to bed and also writing a script for a commercial on my iPhone while trying to get him to bed. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm everywhere. I'm trying to do everything. And I think I'm succeeding because so far my clients are happy with my work. And I've always been a person that's, I think, worked well under pressure. So it's working for me so far. I have my share of challenges, but in terms of rituals, I stick to definitely, you know, once the kids are dropped off at daycare, we do try to stick to a schedule every day and try to drop them off on time. Then I need my Tim Hortons in the morning. That's a little bit of my ritual is,
okay.
I get my Tim Hortons.
And what do you get from Tim Hortons?
Everyone
wants to know what you're eating in the morning.
Medium coffee with milk and sweetener. It used to be a little more of the sandwiches and stuff, but I'm trying to be healthy. Trying to stick with just the coffee now and have something healthy at home. I got to have my coffee in the morning, and my husband's usually calling me in the morning, like, did you drop the kids off yet? Did you get your coffee? And then I pretty much, go straight to my office, and I've pretty much got a to-do list I make every day or the day before. I also have kind of monthly goals that I work on. So, basically project related goals for the business development and sales goals. So it isn't as random as it sounds.
When do you actually create your to-do list? Cause that's, you know, that's one thing that a lot of people actually, I see they have trouble with. You know, they either have a to-do list or they have it, you know, on paper or an online version of it, but they're not actually managing it that well. They don't have a good system for it. And so, how do you, you know, approach your to-do list? Do you do it the night before? Do you do it the morning of? How's it set up?
I kind of have a notebook. Like, I have a paper and pen notebook that's kind of my main notebook for business notes. I take it to meetings, and I make a to-do list pretty much every day. Like, it's usually, you know, when I'm super organized, I'll do it the night before or the day before. But it usually ends up being kind of the first thing I do in the morning. I'm like checking my emails. I'm making a to-do list, and it's usually overambitious, to be honest. Like, I'll probably, like, if I flip through my to-do list from like the last few weeks, you know, sometimes I'll only get to one of them. Sometimes I'll get through all of them. But at least I have kind of my mandate for the day, my agenda for the day. And, you know, if I don't get through, you know, if there's like five I missed, if they're really important, I'll write them in for the next day. So I sort of have that running tab in my mind of like, here's what I've got on the go. And it does really help, you know, prioritize you. And in terms of the monthly ones, I actually picked this habit up when I was at Yahoo, and I had a wonderful manager and mentor there, Hunter Madsen, and he kind of got me into this regimen of like, I started doing it because I had to do it for my meetings with my manager. We had a one-on-one every few weeks. And for the one-on-one, he liked to see kind of a running agenda of like, what's the status of your project? What's the status of each different project, and where are you at, and what I'm going to do next. So I actually just carried that over into my self-employed life, and I do the same thing. So I just go through like, and it's got, you know, at the top of my list, I've got, here's my top items for the month. So, you know, like, it for my sales items, it could be like, I want to get these three clients as new clients, or I want to get new projects out of these clients. Probably being a little too candid here. But, you know, for business development, you know, I want to launch this phase of my website, or for these client projects, I want to finish these phases of their project, or I want to launch their brochure successfully and send them to print, et cetera, et cetera. And then I also have personal things on there. So like, you know, trying to get my weight down has been a goal for me, especially after having two babies back to back. So trying to get back in shape. So I have that as a goal of like, you know, trying to go to the gym 3 times a week. So I have sort of like a top 10 list of the goals at the top. And then I have a breakdown into detail where.
And how often do you refer to your larger goals? Obviously your to-do list for the daily, you're looking at that every day, but your larger goals, how often do you find yourself that you're looking at that?
I think I actually have a bulletin board I'm looking at it right now. It's right over my desk, and I look at it like all the time because it's right on my bulletin board. Like I actually print out the first page with the monthly, you know, the top 10 goals, and I'm always looking at it. So it's always kind of at the forefront of my mind. I try to look back at that, and if I'm kind of like feeling like in the middle of the month, things are getting away from me, you know, I got to look at that and be like, okay, what are my goals for this month? Am I meeting my goals? And, you know, sometimes it doesn't always work. You know, I'm looking at a couple right now. I'm kind of behind on, like I'd be further ahead with my website. But it really does help focus you and prioritize you.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you, you mentioned about Yahoo. So I want to take you there, you know, take you back for a couple of minutes. And obviously, you know, working at a company that size and then going to, to starting your own company, that's a big shift. And I want to find out, was that, first of all, I mean, did you have a specific reason for doing that? I mean, what made you switch from working for a large company to starting your own? And then the second part of that is, how have you found that transition?
So it's definitely been a big transition. Yahoo went through a huge reorg. And they probably lost, you know, I'd say 60% of their Canadian workforce. And unfortunately, I was among those. And it was very difficult at the time, to be honest, because I actually lost my job when I was 7 months pregnant with my son. Okay. And I had my daughter. My daughter was only like 18 months. So and my husband had actually only lost his job a few weeks before that. So we were in a really tough situation about a year and a half ago. And it was very difficult. But at the same time, sometimes a situation like that makes you really reckon with yourself and makes you, think about, you know, am I gonna fester in the awfulness of all of this, or am I gonna use this as a reckoning with myself that this is an opportunity to do what I really wanted to do with my life, which is start a business. So, so I looked at it as an opportunity to start something that I've always wanted to do. I've always had this business in the back of my mind, or other businesses. I actually used to come up with like a business idea every week, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah.
And even when I was an employee, even though I loved my job and I put my heart in my job, I was successful at it. And Yahoo, don't get me wrong, Yahoo was a fantastic experience because I definitely couldn't be doing what I'm doing now and bringing value to my clients with their, you know, bringing marketing solutions to them if I hadn't had that foundation. So, you know, with a big company, you're able to learn from the people around you. You're able to learn, you know, how they take their branding campaign to market. And working on the B2B side, I was responsible for client events, you know, putting together client events, putting together the whole B2B campaign. But I also had a big budget and a lot of support. At the same time, you know, I learned all about the structure and kind of the protocol and the discipline, which you can still take into a small business. So learning about project management, learning about scheduling, learning about looking for suppliers and how to structure a big web project, how a big company does it. A lot of those fundamentals can be applied to a small business on a smaller scale. So as much as it's been a challenge, it was also a huge learning opportunity, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm enriched for that experience.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you know that you share that challenge right now, because you know, I appreciate your honesty, and I think it's great to see how you got back up on your feet and, you know, went after what you really wanted and what you had been thinking about for so long. And I think people listening to this can take that idea away, and, you know, whether it's in their jobs or some other part of their life, it's, you know, it's a good lesson in there for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, you know, you have to think about, you know, how many times are you, like, many of us, and myself included, when you are working for that employer, a lot of times you do have in the back of your mind what you'd really like to do with your life. And you, at the same time, you're scared, because it's very scary to lose that security. And many of us, you know, and myself included, until I pretty much had no choice in the matter, you're very afraid to make that leap into self-employment, because it means losing that security and kind of going into that great unknown. But at the same time, you know, these challenges can gird us, you know, it's kind of trial by fire. And if we can, you know, my husband and I were thinking, if we can overcome this challenge, we can pretty much do anything. And also you have to realize, you know, losing your job, it doesn't take away what you have. It doesn't take away your value. Like, you could get laid off and you still have that experience and you still have that talent and skill and ability inside you. And you got to think about, like, what do you really want to do with your life, and how long are you going to sit in that cubicle instead of going out there, you know, and living your dream and fulfilling your true potential? Like, how many times are you going to walk through the door of that corporate office, you know, feeling inside like that little bit of a coward because you're still there instead of being out there realizing your true potential and, you know, Googling your business ideas instead of living your business ideas? So,
yeah, no, it's a really good point. You know, I think one thing though that we should probably clarify for people is that, you know, this, what you're saying is absolutely true for people that feel that they really want to, you know, start their own thing and go it on their own. But there's, you know, starting your own business isn't really necessarily for everyone. You know, it takes a lot of hard work, and it requires a different kind of discipline and a different kind of approach. So this, what I think what you're saying, it's really powerful, but it's also applicable not just to people that want to start their own job, but people that have gone through a challenging time, whether it be at work or something else. And then, you know, just thinking of what they want to do, whether it's work at a different company or work at a different kind of company or take on a more challenging role or start their own business, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
You know, your message can really be applied to all of that.
Yeah, and it's absolutely. And if you're at a job that you don't like, or if you're at a job where, you know, you think that you can do a better job than your manager, or you should be in a different area completely, you know, you just, the those hours of your life that you're sitting there doing what you hate, you're not going to get those back. So, you know, I just kind of think back at, even though, you know, I loved what I did and I learned so much, and just sometimes because I ran events for ad agencies, I would, you know, I remember one meeting in Halifax where I, you know, Yahoo sponsored a conference for a group of Canadian ad agencies. And I was sitting in the room kind of jealous of all these agency owners. I don't know if I'd be so jealous right now, but, mm-hmm. you know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you know, this is what I should be doing. I should be running an agency like these people are. Why aren't I doing this? And, you know, and at some point, you have to ask yourself, like, how many more years am I going to put off this dream? You only get one life. And the last thing you want to be is old and gray one day and saying, you know, I should have tried that, but I didn't try it. I was too scared. So,
right.
So it's, yeah, it's very interesting, and life will, you know, take you for a spin. So it could be a bumpy ride sometimes, but it can also be a wonderful one.
Okay, Adina, let me ask you, hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot right now, but
please.
I want to change this up a little bit. I love a good quote, and I want to know if, you know, do you have a favorite quote of all time?
Yeah, I do actually. And some, I used to collect quotes. I don't have as much time anymore to.
Okay.
But
yeah.
There's one by Theodore Roosevelt that that I wrote down, I think, like more than 10 years ago or something. And it goes, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds who could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does, the one who actually does strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who knows best in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat."
Wow. I think that's the longest quote I've ever heard, but it's a great one.
I had it written down for this, so I would...
Jeez. Wow, okay.
But no, it's very inspirational, so...
Yeah, it is. Wow, okay. That's yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
So, that's, yeah, that's sorry really for good. The long quote.
No, that's all right. It was longer than I was expecting, but nonetheless, that's, I mean, it's a powerful message.
Well, that's and, you got reelected so many times, I guess.
There you go. Let me ask you as well, what's one thing that maybe your coworkers or clients or friends don't know about you? You know, if you don't mind sharing something that I like to put something that kind of stands out into this interview as well.
Yeah, no worries. I once joined the Canadian Army.
Okay, wow.
I never served. I never went to Afghanistan or anything. It was like kind of a lark.
Yeah? How this all go down? How did you... It was this before Yahoo days, or?
Oh yeah, I was like in high school.
I see. Okay.
I was friends. I had a good friend of mine who I really admired, who was serving in the Canadian Forces, and she was just a really you know cool woman, and I think she was like I think she was in the band, to be honest with you, but
right.
But she was just at the time, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, and I had this friend, and she was so focused and so determined, and I think I would just kind of wanted a bit of that, and so I looked into it and I enrolled and I took the oath, but I never I think by the time they called me to the training, they were going to send me to Petawawa for basic training.
Right.
And, but I got a job at Danier Leather. So I thought that might be a lot easier than Petawawa.
I'm sure it was easier.
So I ended up working at Danier Leather, but I learned a lot of great sales skills at Danier Leather. So that was in high school.
Well, yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's probably something that a lot of people didn't know.
Yeah.
All right. To finish off this interview, I want to ask you about your, you know, specifically about your expertise and your understanding of the industry that you're in, you know, to do with online marketing and advertising and the agency side of things. What's kind of one big trend or opportunity that you're seeing right now that you could share with other people?
I think definitely, you know, more marketers are focusing in on mobile. And especially now with the emergence of HTML5 becoming the new standard, that's going to have a big impact on mobile. I think we're going to be seeing more video and email, more, you know, even more than now, more interactivity. Interactivity is even the standard in basic websites. So it's going to have a big impact on marketers and, you know, just in marketing in general, you know, we're seeing the role of marketing change, whereas 10 or 12 years ago, you know, you'd go to a marketing conference and you'd hear, hey, you know, you can't be a traditional marketer anymore. You have to be a web marketer. And now you're hearing you have to be a social media marketer. You have to be a search marketer. You have to be a mobile marketer. You have to be an email marketer. So I think it's almost like this should be the fundamentals of each of those should actually be taught in business school. I truly believe that.
Right.
And not that you have to become a specialist in each one, but I think the emerging trend is that a marketing manager is going to become like sort of like the GP, sort of like your family doctor who knows, he pretty much knows about everything, regarding your health and different diseases. But he's going to have to bring in a specialist if you need surgery or if you need a certain test. So I think that's how marketing is changing right now, in that as marketing managers, I think we do need to know a little bit about everything and about all of those different strategies. But we also need to be able to bring in resources, because you can't be a search specialist. You know, you can't be a specialist in everything, pretty much. So you have to know what you know, but you have to also know what you don't know.
Right.
Be able to bring in additional specialized resources as needed. And that's what we do with our agencies as well, is, you know, I kind of like to think of myself as sort of a Swiss Army knife of marketing, in that I do know enough about everything to manage a project successfully. But at the same time, you know, if I'm managing a video project, I need to bring in an animator if I need to, or, you know, I need to bring in a special type of designer or developer with a certain technology if needed. So
yeah.
I know what I don't know, but I know people who can fill in the gaps.
Right. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. I think that's a great tip for people to keep in mind, and, you know, as they kind of look at the current marketing landscape and what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Adina, people can find you at napkinmarketing.com. Is that the best way for people to get in touch with you if they have any questions or want to follow up?
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach me at napkinmarketing.com, or you can email me at adina@napkinmarketing.com. And, yeah, I'd be happy to speak with anyone and answer any questions.
Great. Well, Adina, thanks again for doing this interview. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.